Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya, guselkumab, can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball.
If Arsenal don't become attractive in that way that they're going to win European Cups, Chelsea will continue to attract the players and continue to become the most powerful team.
Subscribe to the Koigig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Hello and welcome to Final Whistle on Off the Ball. I'm David Wilson. This is your one-stop shop to hear all the reaction from the weekend's Gaelic Games action. Coming up, we'll hear from the victorious Louth camp after they were crowned Leinster champions in Croke Park. We'll hear from Jim McGuinness and Patrick McBrady after Donegal retained the Anglo-Celt. We have reaction from Saturday's hurling matches as All-Ireland champions Clare are on the precipice of elimination. And we'll also hear from both the Dublin and Armagh ladies teams as they both won their provincial crowns this weekend. But first, two events at GAA HQ today. Louth have won their first Laney Cup since 1957. Three first-half goals from Sam Mulroy, Ryan Burns and a screamer from Craig Lennon ultimately proved the difference as the Wee County ran out winners on a scoreline of 314 to 118 over Meath. Mulroy was named Man of the Match. Here he is speaking to Off the Ball GAA correspondent Tommy Rooney.
It's hard to put into words, probably, right now. But it's a very special feeling, I suppose, like I said on it. When we were collecting the cup, it's probably that group of players believed when no one else believed. And I suppose to stand up there for them and collect that trophy was something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
It was a case of, do we just keep going on? Like, we don't believe or keep playing like that or keep believing like that. You have to change something, and if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I suppose when we set out this journey a number of years back, this group of players, that it was about step by step, setback after setback, and I suppose this group's very, very resilient. And I suppose you're just building, you're stacking evidence to yourselves every day that you can do something special. And obviously the lads come in and have pushed us on even further. So it's kind of one of those things. If you just, why not us? So. That was kind of in the back of my head this number of years. So, yes, it's unbelievable to get it done.
After losing the last two Leinster finals, Louth were not to be denied 3 years in a row. Here's their boss, Ger Brennan.
58 years is a long time, and I've been up there now into my second season, and you get an appreciation of how much they loved the football and how much they wanted it. And while I'm the fortunate one to be there at the moment in terms of someone has to manage it, but I have to give massive credit to the players, the amount of work that they put in, their enthusiasm to learn, their desire to get better. And it's just incredible, it's second to none, and it's something I haven't experienced before. They're never happy, they just want more. They want more, and look, today was all about winning, and we won. Finals are always about winning, and we did it. And then a forced final for a Meath or for a Louth today, and luckily it was our turn. That to go over the line for the first time, that's always a tricky one to win, you know.
Conor Grimes has soldiered for over 10 years with Louth. He says it's a privilege to be part of this group of players.
Yeah, just so much goes into it now. Like, to try and get across the line, like, to actually achieve it. You dream about it, and like 10 years up here now, like, with this group soldiering. And yeah, there's been so many tough times, you know, like then Division 4, Division 3, but I suppose for this core group, the last 5 years, you know, we've kind of really committed to it, put our shoulders to the wheel, and yeah, we started getting results, and some people came in, some people left, and yeah, it's just an accumulation of a lot of hard work over the last few years, and yeah, it's just been unbelievable. Just the release when that final whistle went was just unbelievable.
What did you do?
I just fell on the ground. I just couldn't believe that was it. Like, I dreamt of this moment, just sitting in there in the green room, just with the lads. And yeah, you try and think of the process and like keep coming back to like you've a job to do, like, but ultimately, like, this is the feeling that you're chasing all the time, and it's hard to remove that. And it's hard, especially the rivalry with Meath, a healthy rivalry between the players, but there's just so much went into it, you know. It was such a big occasion for both sets of teams. But yeah, it was just amazing. And that final whistle went, just to be on the right side of it was unbelievable.
The brilliant work that's going on in Loud, right, is phenomenal. And the treble is on, right? Minor, 20s, and now senior, yeah. Leinster champions. The minor final is still to come. We might come back to that in a second, but the journey that your team is on, right? And I've kind of two parts to this question. You get to one Leinster final to Dublin, you're beaten out the gate. Last year, you put on an unbelievable show, but just fall short. There's only 23,000 here. Mm. When Meath beat the Dubs, and you're facing them in a Leinster final, and the delirium takes off in both counties, the real expectation and excitement and the noise in the colour today. It felt like an All-Ireland final today in Croke Park. How did you manage that, knowing that you have an unbelievable opportunity, but nothing can be taken for granted?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, as soon as Meath beat Dublin, like, I think everything just escalated that little bit more, you know. Like, obviously, like, you have to give a shout out to that Dublin team. Like, you know, they're a generational team. Everyone was saying Leinster's dead, but like, for a lot of ways, the GAA was almost dead. You know, that Dublin team were generational. Like, you'll never see the likes of that again, like, with players the caliber that they were. So they deserve huge credit for what they did. And then as soon as Meath toppled them 2 weeks ago, you know, then everything started escalating. Like, and it's hard to ignore that as a player. Like, you're obviously involved in it. You have to go to work on Monday morning. You have to get, like, so it's kind of, you're around it all the time, but you're trying to remove yourself as much as possible.
You must have capitalised on that, though, because it's not like you didn't perform today. I know you maybe weren't at your best, but like Craig Lennon sends that wonder goal into the top corner, like, and you're in a great
Craig's
position.
Craig's been phenomenal all year, like, and we're the group is littered with talent, you know, and they're just feeding through, like, every year. Like, there's so much work going on behind the scenes, and yeah, it's just an unbelievable privilege to be part of this group, you know, because for so long you're down there battling in Division 4 and Division 3, and you're yo-yoing between the two, and you think days like this might never come. And yeah, we're just absolutely, I feel just blessed to be part of such a talented group of players that have come through, and with everyone pulling in the right direction, the county board and everything. That, because when you're there 10 years and you come over 30, and then you start to think, like, will this ever happen for you? And yeah, look, you're just blessed.
Meath will now turn their attention to the All-Ireland Series and face Kerry, Roscommon and Cork. Their boss, Robbie Brennan, is gutted with today's result.
Oh, listen, gutted, obviously. Gutted for the boys. I thought they put in a big shift, big effort, and come up just short like that is extremely frustrating. But as I said earlier there, all credit goes to Jerry and the Loud boys for seeing that through. You know, it was a fairly hot and heavy game, and as I say, they just come out on the right side.
Dublin won the ladies' decider after they defeated Meath for their 12th consecutive TG Cahir Leinster Senior Football Championship title. After a 213-112 victory, Carla Rowe scored 2 points, and she caught up with Tommy Rooney after the game.
We're delighted, obviously. A really tough game today, like, tough conditions, and not the first half we would have wanted, but we knew that if we believed in this, in our plays and in our system, we could kick on in the second half, so we're proud of that.
It's a big thing for your Dublin team. I know I said 12 in a row, but there's a lot of change that's happened. A new management team. You've had Paul Casey and Derek Murray come in. A lot of new players have come in as well. Like, this is a big step.
Yeah, absolutely it is. As you said, there's been loads of changes, and, you know, you never want to be the team to stop a run of success. So that was definitely something that we were kind of going after today. We know Meath were going after to get their Leinster title, and they got after hard, and that they did, and it was a really good battle. But yeah, we're delighted to get over the line. As I said, loads of things we do need to go after, but a good day today.
Elsewhere today in the Tailteann Cup, Sligo defeated Tipperary 215-210. Carlow were shock winners away to Fermanagh 318-218. Westmeath defeated Antrim by 16 points in Mullingar on a scoreline of 424-117. And in the Dalata Hotel Group under 20 All-Ireland semi-final, Tomás O'Shea's Kerry side were beaten by Paul Devlin's Tyrone 214-14. And victorious Tyrone boss Paul Devlin caught up with Off the Ball to Jonathan Higgins after the match.
Yep, to the final, yeah, and delighted the end of over the line, and a lot of hard work, great battle had to carry the year again, and just delighted for the fellas getting the final. Yep, aye.
Turning attention now to events on Saturday, and Donegal were crowned Kings of Ulster for the second year in a row after a single point victory over Armagh after extra time in Clonus. Victorious Donegal manager Jimmy Guinness spoke to OCB's Stephen Gleeson amidst the madness.
All very, very unique, and they're all as special, you know, as the next one, to be honest with you. And you know, you're a packed house out there and the sun's shining, and you know, we all travelled to Ulster finals as children, and that's the moment. The house is full and the sun is shining, and somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh in many respects where we were out the wrong side of it. A lot of days I played in Ulster finals. They're very, very special. They're very, very special, and we will enjoy tonight and enjoy that with our families and everything else, and refocus then as quickly as we can, because another competition's going to start now. But we're not talking too much about that tonight. Just proud of them tonight, proud of the way they went about it and kept going to the very end, and they're entitled to celebrate. Well, for me, the Ulster Championship and the Munster Hurling Championship are just on a par. You know, they bring so much, they ignite so much within people. It's crazy.
Patrick McBearty chipped in with an important 3-point tally. He found it hard to put into words the emotions he was feeling after full time.
It's hard to put it into words, to be honest, because there's so many emotions running through the head, but just obviously pure elation to actually get over the line, and you know, it was a titanic battle out there, and you know, just absolutely delighted.
The atmosphere, the buzz, the kicks, everything mattered there. Every, you know, block, everyone that made any sort of a run at all, it all mattered.
Listen, that's Ulster football. Hey, it's going to come down to fine margins, and it did today, you know. But you know, the last 10 minutes of normal time, and obviously the 2 periods of extra time there today, it was you know, every ball mattered, and you know, every step mattered, kick mattered. So just happy, just delighted to get over the line.
Yeah, you had that advantage throughout the first half, 14-11 at the break. Second half, you kind of kept ahead, but Armagh just stayed in the game all the time.
Yeah, we were a bit disappointed at half time. We weren't more ahead, because I think we were 7-up, but you know, three isn't big enough gap to have Armagh finish, so we knew they'd come back. So you know, then, and they did, and obviously they went ahead then in extra time. So you know, serious team, serious character. You know, I can't say enough about them. You know, and listen, we're just lucky we're the ones in there celebrating at the minute.
Yeah, in the, you know, extra time period, that goal, you know, proved huge.
Yeah, listen, Kieran Murray, he came up late, and suppose nobody spotted him, and Michael Langan did all the hard work. All Kieran had to do was finish it off, but great finish, yeah.
Yeah, and like, it still went down to the very last second, really, didn't it?
Oh yeah, listen, Niall had all popped up. I suppose Niall wouldn't be happy with the amount of game time he was getting there, but you know, we needed Niall there today. He came up with two massive points. He kicked the one there before half time, and he kicked the one there at the end as well. So massive.
Yeah, and like, what did Jimmy McGuinness say to you there going into extra time? Like, did he just lay it on the line, or did he say very little? Or
no, he said plenty, but I don't think I can repeat it. But listen, we're disappointed with the way things went in normal time, and you know, he reset us then, really. You know, there was 2 periods extra time to play, and we did that.
Yeah, the atmosphere, the crowds there at the end celebrating, it was like an All Ireland win.
Listen, there was a lot on the line there today. You know, for us, if we lost there today, it'd be really, really difficult to get the boys back on the horse. But you know, just pure elation. Listen, what we went through in the pitch, the fans went through as well in the stand. You know, a lot of emotions up and down. So you know, pure class.
Yeah, you really earned those Ulster medals, and something that will stay with you, I'd imagine, all your life. Like,
yeah,
you
big time,
get that.
Big time. Ulster medal means a lot to us, so we'll cherish them.
Despite losing the men's decider for the third year in a row, the Armagh Lady side were crowned Ulster champions. 2 goals from Aoife McCoy helped the Orchard County to an 11-point win over Donegal at St Tiernach's Park. Armagh forward Bláthaigh Macken says attention now turns to the All-Ireland.
Yeah, definitely, that's the plan. Like, obviously at the start of the year you put out your aims and your goals, and once you get into the group stages of All-Ireland you definitely take it game by game. But we sort of know in our mind, like, the next trophy up for grabs is the All-Ireland trophy. But yeah, as you say, we'll be basing off performance like we did today. We'll be, every day we'll be going after performance and our own standards, and yeah, hopefully at the end of it that's what sort of the end goal is. But for now we'll be just focusing on our first group game in the All-Ireland.
Ladies footballers wear shorts, and the Camogie players wear Scots. It's in the news all weekend, you know. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I suppose luck definitely stand with the players to give them a choice, and I think they should be allowed to wear shorts if that's what they want. And I remember seeing back maybe last year before the Congress, the vote that players wanted shorts was, I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was definitely in the majority. And for it to go to Congress and probably for it not to be passed, it was a real disappointment for them. And unfortunately, this is the measures they've had to now take over the past 2 weeks, as we've all seen. I'm sure none of the players wanted it to get to that, and I would know they wouldn't want it to get to that, but definitely fully support them in their decision to wear shorts. Like, I know myself, I played camogie for years, up till probably under 16 to minor, and the shorts aren't the most comfortable. Like, I'm definitely more comfortable out there playing in shorts today. And look, it's everybody's preference, but if the girls have a choice, and if that, they want a choice, they should really get it.
Despite Hurler of the Year Shane O'Donnell coming off the bench for Clare, Tipperary were 3-point winners over the Banner in the Munster Hurling Championship in Ennis on Saturday evening. Tipperary manager Liam Cahill paid tribute to his side's bravery with the ball.
Really, really, really pleased with the and you've heard me mention it before, I think, like the bravery of our players on the ball when they're under pressure, you know, compared to where these guys were. You know, they didn't hit it away aimlessly. They took as good of options as they could, worked the ball out even when they were under severe pressure from Clare in both ends of the field, both as backs and forwards. So our decision making, really, our resilience to come together as a whole unit, kept sticking to the plan. You know, really embracing the work that's been done with them on the field from a coaching perspective. Just delighted when you see players responding to what you're trying to encourage them to do. And it gives me a great sense of excitement and a great sense of respect as well, that they believe in what we're doing. So
yeah. You got a bit of kick from the bench as well. John McGraw wins a late free that's converted. Sean Kennelly gets a point. Did you feel in that kind of second half, when Clare were coming back at you, that you were on thin ice in defence? There was a couple of kind of frees that had gone against you in the first half and yellow cards, and they were running at you strong.
Yeah, that was a concern, obviously, when you pick up yellow cards in the modern game, and especially with teams now that run at defences. You know, when you have a number of your backs on yellow cards, it's always thin ice, as you said. But again, that's down to the composure of our players, in the moment, to be able to manage that and make sure that, you know, that they play on an edge, but not too far of the side of that to warrant a second yellow. So there was a lot of things to juggle there from a player's perspective and a management's perspective, but I think as a whole group and a unit, we got our heads around it well and grinded out a really positive result.
I know you've bled a lot of youth and you've changed a lot in Tipperary in the last couple of years, but can you give us a word on fellas like John McGrath? It's nearly 2016 John McGrath we're seeing out there at the minute, like.
Yeah, well, you see, the McGraths in general, John and Noel and Brian, they're talent that comes around very, very seldom, like, you know, especially all from the one club and one family. Like, Noel had his 75th, I think, cap today. You know, the service they've given Tipperary and Loughmore Castellini has been exceptional. And, you know, the trick will be is whenever it'll be, and won't be for a while, please God, whenever the likes of Noel and John have to be replaced, it's going to be a job of work again in Tipperary. So John McGrath came back from a horrific Achilles heel injury 2 or 3 seasons ago, and like, he's back to his best again. So really, really proud and very fortunate to have that calibre of player in my dressing room.
John McGrath rolled back the years with 2-3 from play. He told Tommy Rooney that he mightn't feel like his 2016 version of himself, but he's loving every second.
Yeah, long time coming is right, Tommy. Hugely, hugely important win. You know, we knew coming down here it'd just be by any means necessary, really. It wasn't going to be acting too stylish, or it was about the basics and just getting out with 2 points. Massive battle. Suppose we were pre-warned a couple of weeks ago. We were going in at half time, was it 8-9 up, and we seen what they did against Cork here a couple of weeks, so we knew it was going to be a big battle. Playing into the wind then the second half, and it was just grinding it out, I suppose, when maybe things weren't flowing or going for us. So that's hugely pleasing from our end, I suppose.
Yeah, and you got a good kick from the subs as well when you needed it in the last 5 minutes. Yeah. I think Clare got level on 63, but I think you got the next 4 points. That was huge.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise they got level now. I knew it got very close, but like you said, huge energy and impact there from the bench. My lads came out with great balls there near the end. Shawnee Kennelly getting on the end of a score there with a couple of minutes to go. It's, you know, everyone has their role to play, and, you know, even though lads might be disappointed during the week, you have to come with your best frame of mind and attitude, because you don't know who's going to be called on in any little moment is what tips scales one way or another then.
Oh, I can imagine out there, it's millimetres. You must have been targeting goals, John, as a team, because you knew you'd need them today. You could have had a hat-trick after about 15 minutes. You buried two and you got a point. Is that what's on the mind? Because I think Owen Connolly was over a sideline here at one stage in the first half, and was it Ronan Maher or somebody who roared at you to get in around the square? So you were obviously thinking that.
Look, I suppose if the opportunity presents itself, you do have to go for them, and we needed them in the finish there today. You'd be looking at things maybe in the last 5 minutes that make the difference, but things that happen in the first 5-10 minutes of the match are just important, and it's about being clinical, I suppose, when them chances come. And we probably left a lot of scores behind us in that first half too, which is we would have been a little bit disappointed by, even though we were well on top. Just about hung on, I suppose, is the important thing.
I was keeping an eye on you during your club campaign this year. You're moving well. Nola's moving well as well. How do you feel? It's like 2016 John McGrath out there at the minute.
I don't feel like 2016 John McGrath right now, but loving every bit of it. I think it's a lot easier to be playing than to be watching on. Love being stuck in the middle of it and battling away there with everyone.
What's changed with this group? Liam Cowell's obviously come in. You've loaded changes, loaded new faces. What are we seeing with this new Tipperary?
I suppose, like I said a few minutes ago, it's small things really. It's nothing that we reinvented the wheel. We probably got back to basics, got a good block of work done, early in the year, and just tried to build a foundation coming through the league, and that lads have a huge bank of work behind them, and it's just we had it all the time. It was just finding that consistency. We were coming with performances here and there a little bit, but just finding that consistency, I think, has been the important thing this year really for us.
Clare's All-Ireland defence looks to be all but over as they rely on other results to keep them in the championship. The Banner fought back in the second half after at one stage being 12 points down in the first half. Brian Lohan paid tribute to the Tip subs.
Yeah, the momentum was... We did very well for all of the second half, really. But at the same time, Tip did look dangerous. But we got to grips with their forward line. They certainly weren't making the same kind of runs in the second half as what they were making in the first half. So we were thereabouts, but unfortunately we weren't able to get the victory.
What do you think that was down to, Brian? 63 minutes on the clock when Rodgers draws you level. Why couldn't you just get that kick to go ahead?
I suppose you have to, there's two teams out there. You'd have to give credit to Tip. They responded well, and got a good contribution from their bench. That happens in hurling. Sometimes you're beaten. Regardless of all the planning that you do or all the effort and time that you put into things, sometimes you're beaten.
Elsewhere in Leinster, Dublin continued their good form after they defeated Antrim by 15 points in Belfast. Antrim Bannisdore Davy Fitzgerald was impressed by the Dublin display.
No, the better team won. I think Dublin are a really good team. I think, in fairness, he has them set up really well. I think they're definitely better than they have been the last few years. They're organised, they're playing well, and Dublin deserved a victory. I don't know if it was 15 points of victory, but definitely... probably 8 to 10 anyhow for definite, but they're really well organised and they're good,
Yeah, they've had the two home games at home. They've built momentum on the All-Ireland success in Athena as well. Momentum is such a big thing in sport, isn't it?
No, they're well organised there. This is the big thing, which I can promise you what they're doing. Like our big thing today, the last few games, they were working the ball well out of the back. We tried to press them really hard, and then we left a good bit of space up front, and the fast players that can get into that space. Like, I think we did well enough with our full forward line today. You could see against Wexford in the air, that caused Wexford a lot of problems. We did okay today that way. I didn't think our backs were too bad. We got caught open for one or two goals, all right. So we did, but I like the way they're set up and the way they're doing stuff, and... I wouldn't rule Dublin out of Aton yet. But they need to keep doing what they're doing. Fair play to them.
From your perspective, lengthy injury list coming into the game certainly didn't help your cause.
We can't afford to be missing the forwards we're missing, and you could see it today. We're bringing in a few younger fellas, and they're learning. But it's a tough place to learn inside here, when you're missing the fellas we're missing, as I've named. It's tough. Is it an excuse? No. But we knew this isn't going to be straightforward. It's going to take us a bit of time, and that's what it is. I'm not down because they didn't give up. To me, the most important thing is they kept trying to the very end. James got a bit frustrated, unlucky with the red, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it seemed to be coming together. It was kind of on the corner of her eye, didn't quite see
he was pulled down. He was pulled, and I'd say he got frustrated because we were under pressure. We weren't getting the ball easily. He was pulled, and it looked like he lashed out. He's convinced he didn't. But listen, it's all right. We won't complain. It wouldn't have made a difference in the game. I think he's hopefully missed one game, and we'll get him back again. But that's another forward gone for next week.
I was about to say, you tapped off the injury list. Now you come, you have to travel to Galway. You had a win earlier on against Wexford.
We've travelled to Galway. You're missing. You're going to be missing James now. You're missing Keelan now. You're missing Shan. Missing Connor Johnson. You're missing Kobe. Like, they are actually really good forwards. So they are. But it is what it is. Like, we were favourites to go down before it started. It probably might come down to the last match. We don't know. But we'll keep trying, and we'll see where we end up at the end of it. And that's all you can do. Like, I knew coming up here, it's a tough job. It's a tough drive, anyway, I'll tell you that.
I don't know how you do that. I was reading some articles during the week with you, Davey. Like,
it's tough. I'm struggling a bit with the drive. But and as I said, like, I left Waterford last year, and I was convinced I was getting a break until one of my good mates rings me and asks me, like, you have to give us 1 year or 2 years there, and it's tough. But you know what? They're good lads. They're giving me everything, and I'm a hurling person. I'm enjoying working with them and that, and it isn't easy. Like, we definitely didn't deserve to get well beaten against Kilkenny and Wexford as much as we did. We played pretty decent. Today we didn't give up, but there's more there, and hopefully as we get towards the end of this, we'll get close to our full team back.
Yeah, and a couple of big games to come now to...
Yeah,
really
with
the appetite.
I think Galway will be tough, and as I wouldn't read too much into that next week, I expect Galway will be very strong for that. We're probably going to be missing, just right now, we'll be missing definitely 6, 7 or 8 players for that. So it'll be what it'll be, and then we'll see what happens in the last game.
Galway were 10-point winners over Wexford, whilst Kilkenny defeated Offaly by 15 points at UPMC Nolan Park. Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast from 7:30 every weekday morning with Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig on the GoLad app, or you can watch it live on YouTube. Owen Sheehan will be back in the hot seat tomorrow on Off the Ball from 7. If you want further analysis of the weekend's games, you can listen to the Hurling Pod with Will O'Callaghan and the Football Pod with Tommy Rooney as they peruse through the winners and losers of an action-packed weekend. I'm David Wilson. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next weekend.